And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. Little message for you folks.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
All right, so there you go. Again, thank you for supporting Kauai Community Radio. This is Kauai Soapbox. My name is Donovan Kanani Kabibi, and Marshall's here in the studio. You folks are familiar with Marshall. Let me give you some microphone action there. That's not getting you there. How about
three,
that one?
Three.
Okay. All right.
Aloha, Donovan. Thanks for filling in today for Felicia.
Thank you, Marshall. All right, so now I know which mic you're on, and we're just going to keep the rest of those hot just in case. We got a couple of guests who are working their way either up the hill or down the hill, whichever way they're coming from. Going to join us in the studio later. Hopefully Dustin Barker makes his way in. I know that this show's been trying to get Dustin on for a couple of weeks, and with everybody's busy schedules, you know, it's not always easy to just drop things and make it in. So we're going to thank Dustin right now, even though he's not here yet, and for giving us at least the consideration to come in. Other than that, I'm not real sure where we're going to go with this, what we're going to do. Kauai Soapbox is a call-in show, so we're going to stick with that theme. The phone number you can call us here, it's 826-7771. If you're off-island, the number you can call us at is 866-275-1112. If you're listening online, thank you very much. You can find us streaming worldwide at kkcr.org. Hot topics that we'd like to touch on. Marine. There's this area in the Northwest Islands that the United States government and NOAA want to redesignate, and they have put forward a new game plan, basically, for how the resources in the Northwest Hawaiian Islands are going to be managed. And we know it as the National Humpback Marine Sanctuary, and they are suggesting that many, many more, if not all, of the marine life in this area be a part of this marine sanctuary that they're proposing. So that's one of the hot topics that we'd like to touch on at this time. If anybody has any opinions or went to the meeting down in Kilauea that happened last night, we'd love to hear your voice and hear what you can share with our community. And so another hot topic issue, you know, Dustin Barker's coming in. We know that he attended the meeting last night, and he's quite the aloha aina, gaining recognition as such here in our community. He spent a few days, 3 weeks ago, on Mauna Awa Kea, as our indigenous folks here in Hawaii like to call it. And he actually stood in the road and obstructed traffic to keep the TMT crews, the 30-millimeter telescope crews, from making their way up to the mountain and the construction site. Now, he wasn't the only one. There were 31 other folks arrested in this resistance action. And ultimately, we have seen from that action the last 41 days now. I believe today marks 41 days that the road has been shut down, that Aloha Checkpoint Aloha has been in operation. And I know for a fact, because I just came from a 10-day sojourn up on the mountain, they're pretty darn effective. This roadblock is going on 24/7 a day. There's people actually sleeping on a cot outside in the, you know, it got down to 21 degrees, Marshall. Well, I was up there a couple of the nights I was there, 21 degrees.
Who has clothes for 21 degrees?
I'm telling you, it's not easy to stay warm, but there's a lot of miracles that are happening on the mountain, and these guys are literally sleeping on the side of the road, right next to the white line, and anytime a car comes up, they're stopping the cars, or at least gazing into the car to see if any of the folks in the vehicle are recognizable as TMT or, you know, connected to the construction that goes up on the mountain. And they are laying down in the road if they believe that the car is. And people get up, and they have observation points that can see down the road. It's pretty organized. It's quite impressive, actually.
Were you over there?
I was there.
Yeah.
I spent 10 days total. I went for 5 days, came back home for two, and couldn't resist the call to return. There was an action called for support during that week. Most of the Aloha Aina who were there were going to Oahu to testify at the OHA meetings. So there was going to be a really limited presence on the mountain. So the kahia had been put out from the Aloha Aina at the mountaintop, the Mauna Kea Hui, that if anybody was available, they were going to assist in making your trip to the mountain possible. So I volunteered for that trip, and I went, and I had quite the time. There, most of the lead organizers had been gone. One of them remained. Hualalai is the one who remained and kind of played dad to all the kids who were left behind. And so it was a real quiet time, not a lot of folks up there. You know, most of the major action had happened. You know what really surprised me up there was to learn that in an evening, every evening the observer, or the Halepohaku, the visitor checkpoint there, the visitor center, Mauna Kea Visitor Center, they do a stargazing thing 7 nights a week. 200 to 500 people make their way to this thing every single day.
Wow.
And that's a lot of traffic. So we were actually counting cars that went up to the summit. And not all cars, not just tourist cars or observatory staff cars, but it was well within that number. 200 to 500 every single day making their way to the top. And the reason why I mention that is because we're dealing with what's potentially one of the most sensitive ecosystems and environments in Hawaii. It's a very unique environment and ecosystem to Hawaii. And with that kind of traffic, there's never been an environmental impact statement that we're aware of. Only recently was there any kind of water assessment done. They were able to find prehistoric water in Pohakuloa on the slopes of Mauna Kea. So they tapped an aquifer that had never been tapped since prehistoric time, which essentially ruins that aquifer because that drill bit went in the water system. Anyway.
And what are they doing up there for sewage disposal?
That's a good question. 30-millimeter telescope, just like the 13 that are up there right now, don't have any plans for handling sewage. They're talking about TMT possibly getting septic. The 13 that are currently on the mountain have what's called a French drain. And essentially a French drain leaches right out onto the ground. And all and everything that goes down the drain goes out the French drain system onto the ground.
I'll bet that's not French. Could be.
Could be. I'm not sure what the history of that is.
So let me ask you, do I understand that OHA has dropped its support for the telescope?
That's correct. OHA had their meeting on the 30th, April 30th. There initially was going to be, the meeting was going to be held in May on the 15th. And Dan Ohuna was able to convince most of the at least this is the story as I it was reported to me. Dan Ohuna convinced the rest of the trustees that they should hear the matter as soon as possible. April 30th was the date that was set, and everybody ended up down at the Capitol. While they were all at the Capitol, I was on Mauna Kea taking care of that situation there. And so the final conclusion that OHA came to was to rescind their support for the TMT. And what we were initially hoping that would happen, those of us who love Mauna Kea and want to see it protected and restored somewhat, whatever it can be at this point, you know, we were hoping that OHA would actually make the move to not support it, to also say that we do not support the action. So to rescind their support is one thing, that's great, but we actually would have liked to have seen or heard them actually say, not only do we rescind, but we also oppose the construction of TMT on Mauna Kea.
Right.
So, and, you know, it's interesting, one of the things that, regarding Mauna Kea, one of the things that was reported to me was that, initially, Mauna Kea wasn't even on the map. There was no real interest in Mauna Kea as a spot. Actually, UH made quite the aggressive move to solicit the location to the TMT organization. The original spot was supposed to be somewhere in Chile. Mm. And so there you go. That's what we know about Mauna Kea. There's so much more that we know about Mauna Kea. I'm not sure what else we should get into. I do want to thank Felicia, by the way, before we move on and get into anything else. For those of you who are not familiar with my voice, I have been a host on Wednesday's show from 9 to 11 with Kiyolani, co-hosting the Songs of Sovereignty. And so that's where you might be familiar with my voice. I'm a business owner here on Kauai, and my field is mobile music, fine food, entertainment, and event management. I'm born and raised in Hawaii, grew up on Oahu, raised on the Big Island, spent 18 years pursuing my professional career, and returned home to Kauai Island in 2003. So we've got a caller on the air. I'm totally excited because this young lady is our original host to this show. Felicia, you're on the air.
Hi, everybody. Donovan, thank you so much for coming in, and Marshall. So this is Felicia, and I appreciate what you're speaking to. Marshall, you were at the meeting last night in Kilauea, the sanctuary meeting. What was the overall tone of the meeting? Was it well attended? What happened? Thank you for reading my testimony, by the way.
Oh, I was proud to. There was excellent testimony. I think that you were the only one of the testifiers who probably actually read the 455-page proposal. It was well attended. Without counting, I was just guesstimating 200 people were there at Kilauea Elementary. You know,
Go ahead.
There was a lot of anger in the room. A lot of anger, I would say, expressed by the Native Hawaiian community and by others, probably mainly fishermen. The woman representing NOAA...
was that Malia Chow, or was that Jean Souza?
Malia, that's right.
Malia, mm-hmm.
She made a real strong point to say that they have no intention of limiting fishing. And that's something I'd like to ask you about, because in your testimony, I think you said you referred to some specific examples in the proposal where it does intend to limit fishing. So I'd love to hear more about that. But the other themes seem to be a general suspicion of overreach on the part of the federal government, sort of stay out of our backyard or our back ocean. We can take care of our own seas around here. And also suspicion that a lot of this is actually intended to accommodate the Navy and the military exercises that go on out there. I know that you expressed a concern, too, that some of the language in there might actually be paving the way for undersea mining.
Well, I have a concern of it, and then I want to clarify what you said. I did not exhaustively read the 450-page draft management plan. I scanned through it. I looked through it. It's an overwhelming amount of information, and the way it's structured, it will basically reference some different marine sanctuary protocols, so you have to be able to go and look. It's called NMSA. I think that means National Marine Sanctuary. I forget what the A stands for.
Assessment.
Should know that. But so you have to really be willing to research and look in the appendices. And so one of my big comments was that we need to at least double this comment period to 2 more months. I'd like to see it end in August 31st, not June 15th, because it just came out. It took them 3.5 years to develop this plan, and there are 4 alternatives that it suggests, and the first alternative is no change, and that currently it's called the Hawaiian Island Humpback Whale Sanctuary. And The humpback whale is being declassified as an endangered species, so they want to make it be a key, instead of having that as a keystone species, to be looking at the entire ecosystem. Now, that sounds really great, but, you know, these are just little areas, so if you were looking at the ecosystem of the body, I'm not sure you would focus on the knee, the left foot, and, you know, maybe the right shoulder or something. You know, how do you look at an entire ecosystem, especially with animals that traverse the whole Pacific? So we have a real crisis with our reef. We have real crises with each area. I'm not ready to call them out and say this is a bad document, but I look at it and I say, well, I am very concerned. And like what you're mentioning, people feel suspicious. They have four alternatives in there. The first alternative is leave it as it is. The second alternative is what makes me so nervous, because I'm not a fisher person, so I'm not really looking as much in the fishing language, but it talks right in there in the management plan on page 52. It proposes removing current regulations prohibiting discharge into the sanctuary. Then it says from either inside or outside the sanctuary and prohibiting altering the seabed. Now, me, I'm inferring in here. I worry that that might be allowing for the seafloor mining. There are 11 international companies that are looking to be mining things like manganese and copper from the bottom of the ocean floor. It is certainly nicer to be doing it in Hawaii, where the floor is far closer to the surface and it's a nicer place to hang out than just to be out way out in the ocean. I don't know. I look at it and I'm saying, hey, this concerns me. And when I see language in there that, you know, in quotes, you know, the plan allows for underwater minefield where active sonar systems and or Navy marine mammals are used to detect, locate, and classify mine shapes off the coast of Niihau. And, you know, what we have already on Kauai with the PMRF, there's huge list, you know, torpedoes and all. You know, we already know that those things are happening. So this, to me, it seems like it is expanding the reach of the military. We've done other shows before where we've heard, you know, quoted from Keith Robinson. We had that, a caller came in with the recording from the public meeting where the Straits of Niihau are similar to the Straits of Hormuz in Iran, so it's great training ground for potential war with Iran. So sometimes it's like, well, you know, are we really trying to protect what's going on in the ocean, or are we, you know, opening it up to just keeping more fishermen and miscellaneous people out of the way so we could do more military action? Looking at this, glancing through it, I don't propose that I know it all. I'm looking and saying, hey, can we look closer? Can we have a question and answer session? I was not able to be there. Thank you for reading my testimony last night. You know, I'm not seeing where answers are really being brought out,
Marshall,
or where there is a question and answer session.
Marshall, do you have a copy of that testimony with us here today?
I do not have it with me.
Okay, well, I was...
I can send it to you pretty quickly, Donovan. But so I brought up some elements like... Then there are pieces. This is all what's called alternative two. I would like to see alternative two completely taken out. Alternative one is leave it the way it is. I think they're looking at something called alternative three, which doesn't have as much of these pieces. It's the military, but they are vague. And it back references other areas, so it's hard to understand. I don't have it wired. So Marshall gave me a compliment beyond what I probably deserve, but I certainly have been doing my best to see it. And the fishermen are very concerned. I don't think that they would be mobilizing the way they are if there is not a threat to what they're doing. There's over 200 references to fishing in the area, so that's referencing it, and most of it is in somewhat limiting. What I had seen in there that kind of blew me away a little bit, and one of the people on the board called it me flagging a red herring, meaning that it's not accurate, but it is right in the document. I should pull that up, where you're supposed to have a permit to put cremated remains in the ocean, and, you know, that's almost what everybody does. At least on the North Shore, like the North Shore of Kauai, they're extending that range.
Yep, and you have to report the location as well.
And get a...
you get a permit and all that.
A permit, and you pay for it, and a public mm-hmm. hearing. And then mm-hmm. what's been kind of said to me is, hey, you know, we haven't gone after that in the past. And I go, oh, okay, why write it in then?
Exactly.
You know, why write it in if you're not gonna, if you don't mean it?
Well, it's interesting,
don't put
you know, what I'm recognizing right now, Felicia, is that this what's happening with the marine sanctuary, it's something that's happening with a lot of different areas that are under the care of the United States government. The National Marine Sanctuary, all of the national parks, the Department of Land and Natural Resources connected with the federal government has just announced that they're making drastic change and have a whole new set of land management proposals that they're about to introduce for review. So this, what we're seeing here was, in my opinion, the first of many more similar types of things. And it's really, in my opinion, as I gaze through this thing, because I really don't have the time either to spend with 450-page document and give it the kind of attention, you know, to read it straight through. So I'm taking the time that I have. Once in a while, I look through it, and what I've seen of it so far is an attempt by the federal entities to gain even further, deeper control and impose deeper and further regulation on these sensitive areas. And the only people, by the way, who happen to get a free ride in these areas always seem to come out to be the Navy, Army, Air Force, and Marines, as well as the governing or law enforcement entities associated with these various departments, land management
departments. Well, I'm in agreement with you on that. And when what I see that is consistent, whether we're talking about Mauna Kea or we're talking mm-hmm. about the pesticide mm-hmm. or what's going on in the ocean, is it's consistent mission creep, mm-hmm. where it feels like who are the beneficiaries are these global corporations, mm-hmm. whether they're chemical companies or Defense Department,
well, they're all
industry.
Associated.
It's all this larger entity.
Yeah.
And then things come in with a really nice-sounding name like sanctuary,
mm-hmm.
or somehow it's a conservation zone. Mm-hmm. We have Papahanaumokuakea, which is the Northwest Island Marine Reserve,
mm-hmm.
and we can't get up there. We have the Kilauea Lighthouse Fish and Wildlife. Now they
big old fence around it.
Big old fence around it, and they want to shut us off from Kahili Quarry Beach, mm-hmm. from the Kilauea side, the only beach left that we can walk down to.
Mm-hmm.
So when we have it by law that we can get to public access to the beach, well, once the feds are in there,
exactly,
you can't do it. And even you look at the post offices. Now, maybe in post offices in different parts of the country, they need to be dangerous places. But we look at a place like my local post office in Kilauea, big, tall chain link fence, and then the backwards barbed wire mm-hmm. and
the kind
big
of signs at
no
a prison.
Trespass. Pardon me?
Yeah, it's the kind of chain link fencing that you would typically see at a prison, not a post
office.
It's
the kind of fencing that you'd see at a prison, and it says no trespassing,
yeah, exactly.
U.S. government. So is it a, well, wow, you know, is this belong to the public or does it belong to the government? You know,
yeah,
and
yeah.
It seems like the state government's the new Luna, and then the federal government is
the master.
Feels like a police state. You
yeah,
know,
yeah.
And
I'm not in too much of a disagreement with you in that respect, Felicia. And we do see that this type of activity happening all over, which kind of reflects a police state. You know, it's going on all over the United States, and we know right now that Mexico is arming their police forces in a similar fashion that the U.S. has armed their police force. France just introduced a new bill that will now arm their police force, and they've fashioned and modeled it after the American model. And so what we're seeing is a huge American influence all over the world. Hawaii has been under that influence for, or I'll give you the exact date, 1893. And so we are actually kind of specialists, if you ask me, as to how things operate in regards to the U.S. government and the natural resources and the military. With that being said, one of the things that I support as a member of the Kanaka Maoli community is the idea of home rule, and that each independent state, as it had originally been intended, and according to my understanding of American historical roots and beginnings, each state would join the union, maintain its autonomy, and allow its citizens to do the things and manage the resources and operate in a way that was consistent with the ideas of that community, but yet beholden to this greater image of maintaining equality for all of those who are a member of the union. And what we've seen, well, I mean, anybody who's got a heartbeat can obviously see how things have wrapped up over the last 200 years. And with regards to the Marine Sanctuary and Hawaiian resources, it's my firm belief that the people here have the most intimate relationship and understanding with those resources and know best how to manage them, and should at least, at the very least, not just be given a place at the table when the discussions are happening, but also be given serious consideration as to the input of how the resources are truly managed. Because what we're getting is we are being restricted from any type of actual management of the resources. When you shut it off the way that it appears that this marine sanctuary reclassification of the humpback whale zone is going to go down, what we are actually going to be getting is an off-limits, no-access zone. And that's in direct opposition to local home rule laws.
Well, I am in full agreement with that. The more home rule, the better. And a good thing is, like, tonight, May 5th at 5:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at Waimea Canyon Middle School cafeteria, NOAA is there having another public hearing. So if people are listening and they want to know more information, tonight on the west side, Waimea Canyon Middle School cafeteria, 5:30, people can go to that. Tomorrow night, Wednesday, May 6th, 5:30 to 8 p.m. at King Kamoali'i Elementary School in Hanama'ulu, the discussion continues. I believe it is on Tuesday morning that they will be over on Ni'ihau and speaking with folks there. People on Ni'ihau will know where to go. Anyway, it's a small community, so it'll be real evident. But they are going to Ni'ihau. And then on Hawaii Island, May 7th at Keala Kehe High School. Am I saying that right? Keala Kehe? That's in Kona. And that's 5:30 to 8. And then Monday on May 11th, it's going to be at the Mokupapapa Discovery Center in Hilo, 4:30 to 7 p.m. I know that often we have listeners from the other islands, and so people may be choosing to engage over there as well. I'm sorry to hear if there was a lot of anger in the meeting, because sometimes that really feeds into
the panic,
the control dynamic. They'll say, oh, you know, people can't behave. Another comment period that we are in the middle of, and this one seems a little softer because this is the State Department of Land and Natural Resources, but they have a Kauai Forest Reserve Management Plan, and that deadline for comments is May 31st, and that is really in the Wailua, you know, Naunao and Kalepa Forest Reserve. So that's 1,400 acres. And people are busy living their lives. They're just doing their jobs. And I'm not putting down the people at all who've been working hard on this sanctuary.
Well, they don't report on those matters either. So those matters, they put it out for public notice in the back page in tiny print, you know, so they're not even readily available, the adequate announcement of what's going on, which is supposed to happen, doesn't happen.
That was a complaint last night, actually, that there wasn't sufficient notice to the community that these sessions were happening where they would explain this.
And that's fairly typical.
You know, Felicia, I want to say that as people go to the remaining meetings, you know, it's worthwhile to pay attention to. Malia Chow had a PowerPoint that was very informative and in a lot of ways seemed positive. I think they have put a lot of effort into...
Yeah, you know, the community here has a high level of resistance to anything that comes down from the federal pipe. Dustin Barker just walked into... to the studio a minute or two ago, Felicia.
Wonderful.
Dustin, you
Hi,
attended
Dustin.
The meeting, right?
I did. Hi,
okay.
Felicia. Aloha.
Hi.
Yeah, I attended the meeting. It was...
Was it as intense as Marshall is describing it to be? Was the, were the temperatures as flared and hot?
There's
as
a few people who are heated up, but, yeah. I mean, not any different than what we've seen those people act like in the past.
At any of the other
but,
meetings?
You know, they had legitimate reasons to be concerned.
Right.
And there are a lot of people who have special interests that are starting to work with the federal government and starting to work with the state federal agencies. And me, I look at repetition, yeah, you know. Repetition, something that these guys always make mistakes doing, yeah, because they think they can get away with anything. And one thing that's repetition right now is this 5-year deals on all these projects.
Yep.
So there's a 5-year deal, 5-year deal here, yep. 5-year deal there, 5-year deal
five
with the hail, 5-year deal. So to me, it sounds like in 5 years, and if you know what's going on in the world, and you know what's going on in this in America, then you'll see the repetition, yeah?
Yep.
And you'll know how it's going to affect us here.
Yep.
So tell us a little more. What like 5 years that then there'll be a sundown on the plan?
5 years, or? Basically, there's contracts, right? 5 years, this is a 5-year contract. You folks can take care of this area, and if we don't think you're doing a good enough job, we can come in 5 years and regulate it with our own federal agencies. Yeah.
Yep.
So, this
so
is,
when there's these co partnership.
Exactly.
Exactly. What's going on? You know, some people are giving away things that they already have the natural right to by law that they don't even know about. Yeah.
Yep.
So all this information is coming out now. Like I said in my testimony last night, you know, with all the information coming out, everybody's becoming educated on the illegal occupation, you know, the no treaty of annexation, and everybody's being educated on the direction that we all want to step. Yeah. So once everybody's on the same page with the education and on the same page with the goals, then we're going to step forward in a positive way here in Hawaii and be an example for the rest of the world. Like
exactly.
This uncle came up, yeah, and he talked about the, you know, when you're up in Mauna Kea, you see plenty, you're learning nonstop.
Nonstop.
Yeah. And this uncle came up and talked about the three sons, yeah, that were cast upon the world. Yeah. And, you know, Ku was the, represented the West mentality, on the European mentality, the war, the take, the greed, yeah. The other son represented the East, the brains, you know, they made the computers, they make everything for the world, they're more strategic, yeah. But you know, those two sides have always been clashing, yeah? Those two mentalities, those two vibrations. But what we have and where the other one went was to us, and that was to balance out the rest, yeah? Balance out the two extremes, and what we were given was aloha, and that ha is something we carry with us, yeah, in our vibration. And now, you know, with Mauna Kea,
yeah,
it's really setting a pace for the world on how to deal with issues.
The Hawaiian community in particular has a great example of how to move forward into the future, and it's a great example for everybody. The whole concept that's been born out of this Mauna Kea movement of Kapu Aloha, and there's a lot of misconception attached to the word aloha, and essentially the concept of Kapu Aloha, gives Pono its foundation. Pono becomes the foundation of Aloha under this concept of Kapu Aloha. So by being under the Kapu of Aloha, and a lot of people misunderstand what Kapu means. Kapu is not necessarily something that's off limit. It's also a term that's used to apply a specific behavior that you should adhere to. And that's more like what is the actual meaning of Kapu. Kapu tells us that there's a strict type of behavior that you should adhere to under the situation. The Kapu that has been placed upon us as a Hawaiian community coming down from Mauna Kea is the Kapu of Aloha. And what that means is that we are now obligated to uphold the highest standard of Pono. So Pono has been placed as the foundation of what it means to be living in Aloha.
And knowing the fact that how you act represents me, represents her,
all
represents everybody.
When we come to the table, when we're behaving, when we're somewhere, we're not just representing the individual who's taking up the space and breathing the air at the moment. We come with our backbone, our moku auhau, our past generations, and we have to understand how they represented themselves in order so we can properly represent them as well. Our oath that we take when we decide to take our first breath, and I share this in the wedding ceremonies that I do, as the two families come together and you exchange your vows, the commitment that you make to each other is one that you make to your family and the lineage that they passed on to you, and your set of morals that they passed on to you, and all the traditions that they've passed on to you. And that's what you're promising your families by joining together as one. The Hawaiian family has made the obligation and made the oath to uphold the highest standards that was set down by our Creator for the people of this world. And that's essentially what we want to return to the table as a movement associated with this thing, this place that is holy and sacred to the Kanaka Maole community we call Mauna Awa Kea.
Yeah, and
it's an amazing experience.
Auntie Pua, you know, she has such a simple, simple explanation for what it means, and that's a firm commitment to Pono. Yeah?
Exactly.
And so, you know,
can you explain Pono to the listener who might have just tuned in or who doesn't understand that word?
Because let me do this real quick. Yes, I will definitely give a definition of Pono, a little bit about what that means. In the meantime, you are listening to Kauai Soapbox. This is Kauai Community Radio. I'm Donovan Kanani Kabibi, sitting in the hot seat hosting today's show for Felicia while she's off doing Felicia things. thank you so much, Felicia, for giving me an opportunity to sit in at your show. And I know that the point of view I bring to the table isn't one that's necessarily heard very often on your show. We look at this opportunity as an opportunity to be able to bridge multiple communities who sometimes don't get the deepest of interaction with each other. So I mahalo you very much for giving me this opportunity. Now, back to Pono. You want to give us a little bit about your interpretation of what Pono is, Dustin?
My interpretation of Pono is, you know, following God's laws. Yeah, we all got the best guide in the world always in our minds, yeah? Always in our souls, guiding us to do the right things, say the right things. You always got two sides, yeah? Always got two sides, two voices. But being conscious and following that Pono voice, that voice of the light, I think is living a life of Pono, yeah? Living that's following the right path, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the right path. Keyword, right. For me, for the understanding that I've been given, the textbook definition is righteousness, right? Pono, everybody knows, means righteousness. Every connotation that comes with that word, righteousness, is Pono. But it's a deeper kauna that we apply to the word righteousness or Pono, and that is to be in balance. And our objective and goal is to to strive for a balance that allows us to coexist with every aspect and every being living on this planet. And essentially, in one word, that balance, that synchronicity, that coexistence is Pono. So there you go.
Yes. I am going to leave you guys in a moment here. I'm so thankful that you are both on the show, and you, Marshall, the three of you guys. I want to leave with just a couple of thoughts. Like when I'm in the studio, even now, I'm getting commentary through Facebook of what people are feeling, and I'm seeing a voice coming up that's saying this area on the North Shore that's being chosen, that there is a sense that part of it is, again, an effort that's been underway for several decades to try and make sure preempting tour boating out of the North Shore, that it's another way of being able to control any kind of commerce. So that's another avenue of how people are looking at elements. I appreciate how much knowledge both of you guys have, all three of you guys have on these things. I want to give a little bit of a shout out to KKCR and the importance that we hold as a community on Kauai Community Radio of being able to bring the voices of people of concern out to the broader public. And that's why I think a big reason that Kauai is so empowered. Next week, we begin our fund drive. People can help by, on the early end, going in and donating. The more money we get early, the less we have to do on the fund drive. But you guys have brought up some of the criminal justice system and the militarization, and in a very positive, loving way next week, that's going to be part of the show. Justin Collar is going to be in. He's our chief prosecutor, and I'm going to bring a couple other people in from the criminal justice side, and we're going to talk about trying to make this place rightful for the people who live here, because that's something that I see feathers into all of this too, is who gets held with the crime. Like, it becomes an arrestable crime to be protecting that which you think is sacred, whereas it is legal to do things that can be very violent on the land. So we have this upside down way of doing things, but we will have an upbeat, positive dialogue that will come with some people that are in the criminal justice industry next week. And I want to thank you guys for doing what you're doing, and I have I want to clear the line so other people can be calling in that might have concerns about this topic or any other topic, so they can call at 808-826-7771 to come in and be talking to you guys. So mahalo nui.
You're welcome. A pleasure.
Mahalo, Felicia.
Thanks for calling, Felicia.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
All right.
Aloha.
Okay. Thank you again. Yes. A big, big, big mahalo to Felicia for all of the work that she does reporting on what's going on around here. There's so much going on, and that's one of the things I really appreciate about this show, Kauai Soapbox, which, by the way, is what you're listening to, Kauai Soapbox. So if there's a person out there who wants to call in and has an issue that they want to soapbox about, you're welcome to give us a call. I think we got a phone call on line one right now. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Aloha mai.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Aloha. How are you folks today?
We're doing good. Who am I speaking with?
Good. This is Mehana Van.
Oh.
And how are you all?
Hi, we're doing great. How are you?
Good. Thank you for your hard work on this radio station to provide a community venue for sharing and for all the important issues you've been talking about today and that Felicia and all of you always do on your shows. Thank you.
You're welcome. How can we help you today? What do you want to soapbox about?
Oh, well, I was just calling to let your listeners know about a fundraiser event we have coming up for a local preschool this Saturday, May 8th.
Awesome.
It's Natural Bridges School here in Kilauea, and it's Saturday, May 8th. It's going to be from 8 in the morning until 2 p.m., 8 in the morning till 2 p.m., and, you know, it's a really great place for families to come. You can get your car washed, you can get your huli huli chicken dinner, and you can also shop at the craft fair there at Church of the Pacific, where we're also going to have a wonderful silent auction. And we're also selling tickets for a lucky drawing for Ni'ihau Chalet.
Wonderful.
I'm thinking about the island of Ni'ihau so much today.
Absolutely.
For Koa Pens, and a guided tour of Limahuli.
Wow. Well, that sounds like a really fun event. What again, can you tell us one more time, who is it for, what are we doing, where it's going to be?
Wonderful. It's Saturday, May 8th. It's from 8 in the morning till 2 p.m. You can come by at any time. It's at Church of the Pacific, right in Princeville, across from the stables, that turn right near Princeville Town with the flags at Church of the Pacific. And it's to support Natural Bridges School, which
awesome.
Has served on the North Shore community for over 10 years now. Just
what,
providing
are, they, what are they doing there at the school? What are their, what's their like main thing? What do they do there besides, you know, teach the little kids? What's their focus?
You know, they teach them in such a thoughtful way that really realizes that students learn in many ways, hands-on, all sorts of different ways of thinking. They provide really special materials for them. They try to provide scholarships to families who wouldn't otherwise afford preschool. And they really do a lot to try to connect the students to our Kauai community. Mm. And, you know, responsibility for a place starts with love of a place.
Absolutely.
But they've done a lot of work, especially in their recent reopening, to integrate Hawaiian curriculum. The students are planting and cultivating native plants. They're going out to community sites, and they really think of that as all of their learning and developing a home child.
Where do I enroll? Can I go to
where do you enroll?
That sounds amazing.
I know too. They say everything you need to know you learned in preschool, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's what's so amazing about the world today. Is like, I guess we got too old and forgot what we learned in preschool, and maybe we got to send
it's
some of us back.
It's all about the foundation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Amazing. So this Saturday, if anybody wants to support, one more time, the name of the school?
Natural Bridges School.
Natural Bridges School at the
Church of the Pacific.
And the times?
The time is 8 to 2, and you can just drive on through. You can, if you have time to stop and
drive
shop, that's
through
wonderful.
Festival. Awesome.
Drive through, get your car washed, and get your Huli Huli chicken dinner. You could do that too.
And place a bid in the silent auction.
Yes. Yes, and we have wonderful silent auction items. Our local businesses have been so generous. I mean, there's... Yeah, it is wonderful.
You know that.
Our local hotels and boutiques, and we really thank everybody.
How can we say no to the kids? Come on now.
It takes a village to raise a child.
Yep,
it does.
It does
take a village.
I think that's the only thing that ever came out of Hillary's mouth that I can agree with. It takes a village.
It didn't come out of her mouth.
I know it didn't. I know it didn't. Anyway. Thank you so much for your call. We got somebody on the other line.
Thanks, Mahana.
Okay,
Mahana,
thank you for
you're
the
doing
time.
Great work.
Aloha
we
nui.
Love you. Aloha.
Aloha. Nui.
Aloha. Aloha.
All right, so we got right there perfect evidence of what kind of services Kauai Community Radio offers to anybody. You can call us up just about at any time, get a real live on the air PSA for your group organization, and that's a pleasure for us to be able to do that and provide that service to our community. We love our community here at KKCR. We hope that our community loves us in return. We do have a fun drive coming up. You know, it does take a village to raise this child that we call Kauai Community Radio. We appreciate your support very much. We have another caller on the line. Let's go to line 2 right now. Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
Aloha. Mahalo.
You're welcome. Hemeiki, it's a little thing. We're glad that you could call. Who am I talking to?
You're talking to Nina.
Nina. Aloha, Nina. So what do you want a soapbox about?
Yeah, I didn't hear the whole conversation. I just was driving home, but I heard some of the conversation about the sanctuary.
Yeah.
And I just would like to ask whoever was one of you gentlemen made the statement that there will be no fishing and no access proposed.
Well, it's something that we've seen. It's not... I can't speak specifically to whether or not there's actually going to be some type of restriction on the fishing and gathering, but what we have seen in the past with these sanctuaries is that fishing and harvesting does become restricted in some way. Dustin, you were at the meeting. Can you offer any insight towards
there
that?
There was really no... They said it's not going to affect fishermen, but in the language of the literature, it does say that, yeah.
Okay,
it does.
Well,
so,
I have to respectfully disagree.
That's great.
I've read the entire document.
Mm-hmm.
I've attended all the meetings for the last 5 years. I know what's in that document. There's not a single thing that says there's going to be any restricted access anywhere.
Okay.
There's no fishing restrictions.
except for Niihau.
Except for Niihau.
No, there are no fishing restrictions anywhere, including Niihau.
Well, that was something that couldn't really get clarification last night with all the questions and everything. Yeah. And that's the main concern of all the people.
And there is a restriction because a permitting system is going to be in place. In some of the language we saw that, you know, there will be permitting requirements to access this resource in this marine sanctuary.
Okay.
So that's the concern. And what are the criteria for qualifying for a fishing permit? And we do know that currently there are organizations and groups who have requested licenses repeatedly for the last 10 years and continue to get denied these licenses in order. And we also know right now that if you do get a license to go fish in the Northwest Territory, in the language on the permit, it tells us that we can go there to fish as a sustenance act, which means we are not allowed to bring any fish back from the Northwest Territories with us. The only thing that we can do is catch the fish that we catch has to either be eaten or discarded. No fish can come back the boat.
What is the problem with that?
The problem with that is that this is a large resource for marine life that, if properly managed and the natural cycles of the life fit that are there, you know, the spawning seasons and so on like that, are adhered to, it's a sustainable, harvestable, replenishable food resource for our communities at home.
Well,
and what's happening right now is that resource is not being used to its potential as a natural resource.
Okay.
It's another control over our...
I disagree with that.
That's great.
The science about what's going on with the oceans.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a single sustainable fisheries anywhere.
You're absolutely right, and that's
not
because of the human impact that has been placed on those fisheries.
With 7 billion people on the planet, without some kind of regulations, the level of greed is just astounding, and we are decimating.
I'm not in disagreement with that.
But look who's connected to this proposal.
Right.
Look who's connected. Look at their track records.
Who are you referring to?
I'm talking about the U.S. military.
Yep.
They are the ones who get
the federal
permits
government
through NOAA to do whatever they want off the west side of Kauai. And when we want to talk about this issue, let's get to the bare bones of what the problem is here with our ecosystem here on Kauai. And it has to do with unsustainable acts on our shores and unsustainable acts by the U.S. military who has occupied us.
No question about it. Absolutely. And that's one of the things that people should be working very hard on, which I have been for decades, and getting the military to be accountable.
Absolutely.
But that's still no excuse to say that the blatant overfishing and unsustainability that's going on locally and internationally is okay. It's not Pono.
I don't oppose...
Internationally is a lot bigger than locally. I've been growing up fishing.
Let's talk about our backyard.
Let's focus on our backyard for a moment. Exactly right.
It's overfished.
The resources are taxed to an
truth, our resources aren't overfished. Our resources are being over-poisoned.
Abused.
Right. So that's what's so
not
great
by
about
our
the
fishermen.
Sanctuary proposal. Most of it is water quality stuff.
Yeah.
And they're
that
working.
Is the best part
and
about
that,
the proposal.
So
and that is the part that we all
instead of fighting all this work that's gone into this, I mean, we're talking...
No,
I've been to all these meetings, guys, if you could let me speak for a minute.
Yeah, please do.
Do you know the level of Hawaiian mana that's been involved in working on this document? It's huge.
Yep.
There are a lot of Kanaka connected to it.
They listen to the voices of people. If you read the document, they're trying to integrate community action.
It's about time.
Based. Yeah, so it's like, why not work with the positive
I don't oppose
water
these.
Water quality is huge.
It's like
water quality is huge, but again...
The larger
picture, okay? So we're talking about, now we're going into the topic of watershed, okay? So marine management, we have an issue here that the Hawaiians understood better than anybody else, that we're still having a hard time getting through to the land managers who have taken over here.
Right.
This system is a land, top of the watershed to the bottom of the watershed and out into the ocean.
This is all in the document.
What we're doing here on Kauai right now is that we're allowing corporate entities to come into Kauai on our island, which is ground zero for some of the most toxic experimentation that's ever happened in the history of humankind right here on our island. They're dumping massive amounts of chemicals every year, unparalleled to any other place ever in history.
Absolutely.
Right here on Kauai. Where do you think all of that stuff's going? How do you
totally
think that?
I'm aware of that. The document says that with sanctuary, with a stronger sanctuary stance, they can have some legitimacy to prevent that.
I'm all for it. My concern is that the federal government is spearheading this act, and the partners that they've chosen to move forward with this thing restricts home rule to a high degree. Should they decide in 5 years that we and the groups that they're working with to manage the resources in these sensitive areas failed the expectations of the federal government, which many of the times ends up being the case.
And
we got to go with the track
record.
About
how the Marine Sanctuaries Act works, that's impossible. I agree with you, other forms of government operate in different ways, but the Sanctuaries Act, the way it's written legally, it's literally impossible for them to do that without getting community input. So the point is, now's the time to put your community input and say, I've read the document, we need water quality, we need to act Pono, and
I could not agree with you stronger.
But it's not Pono to be saying something that's not true on the air. It's false information.
Well, we're speaking from our experience,
okay,
our individual experience, what we've observed.
It's false information.
It's what we observe, whether it's false or not. What we see with our eyes.
You haven't educated yourself. You haven't read the document.
Well,
you're listening to people who are being extremists giving false information, and it's not Pono.
I'm sorry that that's the image that we've portrayed to you. Well, I find myself to be in 100% agreement with you that right now is the time, and it's essential for our community to band together and do the Pono thing and stop fighting amongst each other and understand that this is a sensitive ecosystem. Jeff Sachs was just at the UN. The UN Council for Climate Change, they just had their meeting last week. Jeff Sachs, one of the highest recognized environmental scientists right now on the planet, told the UN Council on Climate Change that if we don't stop oil production, petroleum-based energy production now, we have till December as a critical point.
Yeah, well,
so we've already passed the tipping point.
That's in the document, too.
And
addressing climate change and acidification.
Like I'm saying, so I'm in 100% agreement with you, and we're reflecting our personal experience in the hopes that our community will understand the critical nature and the attention that they should be paying attention to these things and these documents that are coming out. Because actually, I have spent some time with this document. I have reviewed many of the pages through the 450-page document, and I'm in the process of going through that. The language can be sometimes extremely difficult.
I agree.
The language, as always, is something that can be manipulated to say one thing, and when you get into a court of law, you're going to get stuck with the language, and you better know the language. And it's important, like you said out of your mouth, which I am 100% in agreement with, it is the time now that we become active as a community, stand together shoulder to shoulder, no matter what color skin we are, no matter what community we come from, because we are all humans. We all share this planet. And
Absolutely.
What happens here...
And we share the planet with a very fragile ecosystem that's
exactly.
been decimated 90% of the species.
And if you ask me, that ecosystem has more of a right to exist than we do.
Exactly.
They don't have a voice
have
like we do.
Why not have regulations to protect it, because there's so much greed on the planet.
I'm all for it.
We're all connected.
Yeah. I'm all for it. I'm all for it.
So but I'm on my way to the meeting, but I would just like to end with...
Please.
The ocean is sacred. Every living being in the ocean is sacred, especially the Kohola.
We're in total agreement on everything you said. No. Water quality is the biggest issue, and that's what we agree with on this proposal, yeah.
Okay, so please send in your comments.
But let me tell you something.
We'll do.
Let me tell you something. When you see the repetition going on with all these proposals that have to do with taking away the rights of Hawaiian people, right?
The indigenous.
So
not a single thing in there that says it's.
This is repetition of 5 years control. 5 years. Some of these Hui watersheds, they have 5 years with DLNR, 5 years with the federal government. All these contracts are 5 years. If you know what's going on in the world, if you know what's going on in the U.S. government, this is all folding into a control mechanism. Yeah.
Well, you need to realize that they're using pawns as
environmental. The word environmental, the word sustainability is being thrown around as a pawn for a bigger picture. I am very well educated in this stuff. Yeah. I spend every night of my life reading about these issues. I spend every day of my life reading and learning and seeing the repetition, and I'm going to catch it before it happens to us. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm a diehard environmentalist.
Well, I didn't get your names. I don't know who I'm speaking
with. My name's Donovan Kanani Kabibi. I have Dustin Barka in the hot seat, uh-huh. Who is the gentleman you were just speaking to. Marshall's manning the phone.
Okay.
And Dustin is a guest of Kauai Soapbox. I'm sitting in as Felicia's stand-in host.
Okay.
And Marshall is typically Felicia's right-hand, left-hand man.
Okay. Well, so I hear what I think it was Dustin was saying.
Yeah.
You know, we got to shed light on that. So then my question is, what are the solutions? How do we protect?
I mean, my solution
with almost 8 billion people over-consuming and greed taking over rampant.
For us, we cannot worry about the 8 billion. We need to worry about our 70,000 here on Kauai. We need to worry about however many people we have in Hawaii. We need to focus and think global, but act local. Yeah, yeah.
Right,
think global, act local. We are the most respectful people in the world.
Amen.
To the ocean. We in Hawaii.
I agree.
We are the most respectful.
I've been here for 37 years.
I've seen
locals dumping onto the reef.
You've witnessed is the absolute decimation, the result of the absolute decimation of a Hawaiian culture. That's what you've witnessed over the 30 years. And we, as Aloha Aina, are pursuing the act of restoring the Aloha Aina that our people once had.
Let me share
with you my idea for a solution that can be applied to the entire planet. A return to indigenous wisdom of land and natural resource management.
Absolutely.
If our world Definitely. Governments forgot everything that they know right now, turned to their native populations and asked the one question, how do we perpetuate this environment? What do we have to do in order to save it, protect it, and live within it? The answers are there. That's my answer for a solution.
That's in this management plan review.
And I hope so. And I see that they're making an effort. And, you know, I mean, let's face it, 250 years, you know, the Native Americans in America have been dealing with these exact same issues for 500 years.
Right.
It's about time. And I'm encouraged, deeply encouraged, to see these federal governments, these ruling entities, finally turning to their indigenous brothers, who are actually their fathers and their mothers.
Mm-hmm.
And asking, how do we save the planet?
Yeah.
This indigenous council that met at the UN, the climate change council that met at the UN, first time this kind of council, first time ever has the civilized world given the opportunity to indigenous cultures to be at the world table. We now have an indigenous culture at the UN. The Hawaiian nation was the first indigenous culture to be introduced at the table at the UN. The time that happened in 1849 was it was still called the League of Nations. So, you know, we've been here for a long time as a community functioning within the world. We've suffered great injustices and damages to our way of life and our physical thinking because of the oppression that has happened here in Hawaii. We have been bitter about this in the past, but we have learned that that bitterness does not serve us. And whenever we, for the most part, a lot of us anyway, when we exert that energy in that negative manner, we suffer. And not just as an individual, but our families suffer. And so what we are in the midst of witnessing right now as a Hawaiian community is the revival of Aloha and Pono in its truest form. And the second generation of this movement that's been coined since the 70s, the Hawaiian Renaissance, is come to fruition, and we see our people rising as the examples of aloha that they've always intended to be, that they once were, and are beginning to embrace. And I amen
what it really
Keakua
means,
and the young generation
what
for
it really
embracing
boils
this.
Down to, though, you know what I mean, what it really boils down to is everybody doing their part.
All right.
And being conscious of their effect on our natural resources. We've got, you know, we've got so much poison going into our water. We've got, you know, a reef disease in Hanalei that nowhere else has. The reef disease on the north shore of Hawaii.
Caller, your name one more time.
Nina.
Thank you so much for
it
your call.
It doesn't take a rocket scientist to see where the problems are coming from.
Absolutely.
Right, but also it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that we have such major problems that we need all the resources and all the heads put together and the information and the experience
I support your desire
to respect each other.
Of course.
I support
course.
Your desire to protect the resources. I'd suggest that we all just kind of be real careful about how we go about it and make sure that everybody who deserves a place at the table gets a place
it
at the table.
It sucks because, you know, the federal government, you know, they're losing so much trust. And maybe it is one time they're going to do something really good. And because of all their track records of so much mistrust and so much behind closed doors deals and so much hidden literature and everything that it's...
All right,
people
Nina,
have lost
I gotta let
trust,
you go.
Yeah.
I got somebody on the
we
other
hope,
line.
We hope and pray. Thank you, Nina. Sorry.
Okay, aloha. Aloha.
Real quick, you're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K224CQ Anahola, K284AL Halaiva. Programs like Kauai's Soapbox are made possible by listeners like you, in partnership with these fine underwriters. We got, let's see, who are they this hour? Cooperman and 808 Equipment. Let's see if I got those guys queued up here.
The Copperman. Copper, stainless steel, and galvanized aluminum. We specialize in ornamental and custom work and fabricate and install any kind sheet metal work, residential and commercial. Serving Kauai for over 30 years. We're still talking. HarryConti.com. That's HarryConti.com. Or 639-3456.
KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K224CQ, Moloa'a, K284AL, Haleiwa.
808 Equipment Rentals, providing tractor, bobcat, and BCS tiller services island-wide, including pasture mowing, garden bed raising, vegetation removal, terracing, gravel spreading, and more. 808 Equipment Rentals in Moloa'a, 823-1000.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. We got Dustin Barca in the studio. Marshall's on the phone. What's up, Dustin? How's it?
Yeah, I just want to thank the auntie who just called in because she brought up some really good points.
She was awesome.
And water sample is the part that all of us who I talk to are in support of. Yeah. It's the control side of controlling the resources and controlling the ability to go to places and whatnot. That is vague. Yeah, it's not clear.
It is kind of vague.
And when we asked questions last night, it wasn't clear, and she couldn't come up with a good answer because it was above her. So, you know,
it's hard, man. It's hard, right?
You really need to get to the nitty-gritty and read between
Let's take another phone
lines.
Call. Let's take another phone call. Caller, you're on the air.
Is that me, bros?
That's you, bros.
Oh, thank you so much. Hey, gentlemen, I want to applaud you for a great show so far. I love the passion. I love what even the callers are bringing in to the table, and just the interconnectedness of the dialogue, the discourse, bringing up a lot of good points, raising the consciousness.
Aye.
Beautiful, beautiful job, gentlemen.
Really. Well, thank you very much.
That's what we're here for.
And here, too, I would like to also expound a little bit, you know, on the beloved sister Nina, as to what she's putting out. I, too, totally am in agreement with a lot of her points. Correct. The kohala is truly a sacred being, one with us as a mammal in the kai, as we are mammals on the land. Mm. That is our interconnectedness. But why is it that that very organization that asking for the expansion gives exclusive rights or exclusivity to an organization called the U.S. military to take that sacred being, and it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Or do
something
whatever.
With me, you know, really leaves me a bit disturbed about that philosophy.
Well, like I said, my closing statement with Auntie was, you know, let's all just kind of be careful with what we're doing and who we're allowing.
The only dead whales I've seen in my life has been during military experimenting on Kauai.
Like RIMPAC.
And when I was a kid, there was, you know, maybe 50 whales that tried to beach themselves in Hanalei when I was a little kid.
Right.
All from sonar experimentation.
Any fisherman
I know respects the whales, stays away from the whales, and the pilot whales come in, they know party's over, they either go home or they go somewhere
exactly.
else. You know what I mean? It's like, there's no...
reading nature and being in balance with her, not trying to control her or to submit her.
Exactly.
You know, there's no conceivable way we're going to win that program.
Not ever. Have not yet.
Have not yet.
We'll never beat Mother Nature.
We don't have to keep repeating.
We'll never beat
you know, the mistakes that even our predecessors, forefathers, Kupuna, however, may have happened, you know, to sit there and to try to play like we are going to take the stance of a kua and be able to manage this.
One of the most profound phrases that was ever given to me is that a wise man learns from the mistakes of others and a dummy learns from his own. And so it's about time we pay attention to the mistakes that others have made, incorporate those lessons into the program, and move forward functioning.
So true.
Right.
So true.
Right.
You know, why reinvent the wheel?
Exactly.
You know?
So anyway, you, how about any final last closing statements or anything you want to make? I got another caller on the other line. We'd love to get more folks in on the conversation.
Oh, shoot. You're
going
to cut me off on that one? That wasn't even what I wanted to talk about.
Well, let's hear it, brother.
Okay. Well, you know what, my brothers, I know that you've all been quite active with the action that's been taking place on, you know, the sacred mountain, Mauna Kea.
Amen, Mahalo.
You know, and what has been happening there. Now, I'm not sure whether you've even touched on this, Donovan, but of course, my other half tried to send you one email concerning issues that were presented to us last week when we had the Commission on Water Resources and Management come to our island after darn near 20 years of absence. And Mahalo Keakua, once again, that they did come. They held a meeting here on island, and out of turn or out of place, you know, as the agenda was going, the very first thing that they came to hear upon was something, once again, that was taking place on the sacred mountain, which blew us away, and little did we know that they want to do a drilling project to go into the mother down 5,000 feet.
Diagonally.
Correct, diagonal.
Yep.
Yep.
Just a
horizontal planet. Drilling.
What's that?
It's a horizontal drilling, and it's on the same lines of what you'd call fracking.
Well, they were saying, yes, similar, but not.
Exactly.
You know, this one, you know, was supposed to. But, once again, at the underlying premise behind all of this, when it was brought to, you know, the question was raised, well, whom exactly is this test well or study being sponsored by or put on by or whomever?
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, man, it was the U.S. Army.
Yep.
So, you know, right off the bat, you know, red flags going up all over the
place. Call it a herring
or
whatever.
You know what's going on at Pohakuloa, yeah? They found the biggest aquifer in the world.
That's what they're drilling, my man.
Exactly.
The aquifer.
So what is this all about?
So this
really?
Is what they were here last year, and me and Rob Pa and a few others were the only people who showed up at this meeting that we found out the night before was in the water, Department of Water, behind a, you had to get pushed in through a button to just get through the office into this gated place in the back where it was the most important meeting on Kauai, for Kauai's future I've ever been
to. But yet nobody was
nobody
invited.
Knew about it.
And
this was for
it.
A horizontal
true, huh?
drilling into Waialeaea.
Yep. Well,
yeah,
we
yeah,
stopped
yeah,
that.
That was that one, but this one is specifically at a diagonal or vertical, excuse me, not diagonal, just a vertical drill.
Oh, okay.
You know,
but
straight down kind. You know, they've done this 1,000 times over.
Yeah, and they're exploratory wells looking for
what my point was to them at that meeting, and I'll make this point all the time because, you know, our island is a living being.
It is.
And,
it's breathing. It's living.
You know, when you put it into that aspect, you look at Waialeaea and you take the exterior face off of it, yeah, and you open it up like a human being, and you look at all these cells and veins and and you see how it works like a human being, yeah?
Yeah. Yep.
And then you go stick a hole in the heart of a human being, yeah?
What happens?
And you wonder what happens, yeah? So you go just, I'd like to put it in real easy to understand terms for these guys because they're not that intelligent. Even though they got all the degrees in the world, they're not too intelligent, yeah? And so when it comes down to common sense, yeah, you got to make it real simple. So for me, you put a hole in the heart of a human, everything else on that body is going to shut down and it's going to try to survive out of that one hole in their heart, yeah?
Right.
And it's going to pump and pump and pump until it has no life left. And to me, when you know what's going on around the world with water control and the corporatization of drinking water and water and period, you really got to put all that into perspective when somebody's coming at such a water source like Waialeale or Pohakuloa.
I know. And all right, Uncle.
That's what it's all about, gentlemen. Know that. You can have all the gold in the world, but if you ain't got water to drink, when it comes time to drink,
it ain't no
gold ain't going to be nothing that's going to be worth much.
The real gold and silver on this earth is the water and the land.
Bye-bye. Right.
We got some. Yes, mahalo nui for your call. Thanks for your
Uncle
support.
Tim,
as well, too, Donovan and you guys, you know, keep up the good works. Of course, there was another topic, too, you know, that was also, you know, playing out at that meeting, and that was the west side, so I hope you guys maybe touch on that a little bit.
Okay.
Okay? If not, then I'll call back later.
Mahalo.
Please.
Hui ho.
Aloha. All right, we got a caller on line two. Let's take your call on line two. Caller, you're on the air.
Aloha.
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 What can we do for you? What do you want to soapbox about?
I just want to go back to that the sanctuary proposal.
Okay.
This is Adam calling from the Tarot Patch, guys.
Hey, Adam, how's it going in the Tarot Patch?
All right.
I'm excited to hear your voice.
Same here. Thank you for what you guys are doing for us and talking and being able to share the opportunity. You guys know, in another life, I've worked for the federal government as a conservation biologist.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
For the interior and NOAA. And I just want to let folks know that unequivocally, you cannot trust the federal government. They are not here for the best interest of our community. I can tell you that from a
the
quarter
horse's mouth.
Personal experience.
Personal experience, brother.
Yeah.
And so I kind of moved away from that point, but I was just checking to see if, as you guys read the proposal, did it have in there any numbers for a sustainable yield of the animals?
Not that I'm aware of.
Really? So there's no numbers about how many our Keiki and our Mopun are going to be able to harvest every year for Paina or celebration or anything like that? Because I tell you, that's what the Kupuna did. And if that isn't the goal of all our conservation organizations, then they're promoting the wrong conservation ethic for our community.
Amen. That's exactly the point I was trying to make with the auntie that was on earlier. It's not about restricting access. It's about managing the resource so that there is a sustainable source, a sustainable supply that we can harvest from regularly when needed for our community. And right now, with the way it is set up, you know, those permitting processes that we have to go through to get the access, and then the restrictions on what can be taken and how much can be taken, none of that's really that I've been able to find so far. I've only made it through about the first 200 pages. None of that language is really being addressed so far. And we'll see what happens. And, you know, like Felicia was saying earlier, there's actually three different proposals all wrapped up in one. So the committee's going to vote on an option of choices to take, one of which is no action at all and to keep it the way things are now.
Yeah, so, I think the bottom line for me is that if the management, currently the management goals are to attain a certain number and protect them so that, you know, tourists can go out and pet them or take pictures or whatever.
Yeah, that's not cool.
That is not, you know, that is not supportive of our community in the long run, right? Because unless our community has demonstrable use of that resource, like the Kupuna did, in fact, and you know, Donovan, if you go back and look at the chants, whether it's the seabirds or spinner dolphins, the term they used for those animals was ia. That was ocean food.
Ia, exactly.
They did not distinguish between a Kala or a Manini or a Spinner Dolphin.
No.
It was food, right?
Food.
And therefore, they were sustained, they were managed sustainably, because if you didn't, you or your family would suffer.
You would die. Nothing to eat.
You would die. And until we return to those hardcore...
wisdom.
Yeah. You know, petting a whale is not in the conservation ethic that I teach my kids.
Not at all.
It should be. That's not the point here. Right?
Exactly.
So anyway, I just want to share that with you guys, and thank you again for what you guys are doing. You're right on.
Thank you, Adam. And sometime soon we want to get an overview of what's going on with the watershed development program that you're working on for the Lihue District.
Anytime, brother.
Yes, so yeah, that's going to be
awesome.
A topic that comes up real soon, because I know that there's some action happening with that, and we should be paying close attention to what direction the county and the state's moving with the reclassification of all of our watersheds. And that's one of the things that's been happening lately that folks may not be aware of. Not only is there this marine management proposal, but we're also having a land division proposal coming through, and the whole structure is beginning to get together and talk about how the water resources across the United States authority is managed at a federal level. So, home rule is going to be essential to try and sustain for us, I think.
Well, and I'll jump off the air, but I would like, as I do so, because it's not my kind of kuleana, but I would like to hear your mana'o on the whole sovereignty aspect of these ocean waters that the U.S. government has taken over, just like they've taken over the land.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
I'll leave it at that. Thank
Adam.
You. Yes, sir.
Thank you for all you do.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Aloha, Adam. I love that guy. He's pretty darn cool. What a smart brain, and I love the way you opened up with that. You know, as a former employee, I can tell you, don't trust nobody that
there's
calls
so,
themselves.
I mean, if you really do your homework right now, and you go and, you know, you start learning at how many people who've been working for the government
yeah.
for all their lives
and then walk away
are just coming out of the closet, stepping up, and going out of their comfort zones and
let's,
exposing the.
Yeah, let's look at it, right?
Mistrust.
Exactly. All right, we've got another call over out here on line one. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello, I'm Charlie Brown.
Hi, Charlie Brown.
And I'm wondering about an imaginative concept for harvesting manganese nodules on the ocean bottom to see if anybody will will respond to it. I would imagine an octopus, underwater octopus flying above this field, and there's sand at the bottom and the manganese nodules growing so they can be picked up.
Yeah.
And so instead of having suckers on the tentacles of the octopus, you have small retractable, let's call them ropes.
Clamps.
In that the tip of each rope is a sensor that when it can have a little bit of range, but it can home in and then attach by sucking to a manganese nodule, and then the rope would wind up and join the tentacle, which would
suck
the
it
whole
up.
Assembly would collect all these nodules and lift up, and it would be very clean.
Well, okay.
And I don't know if we have a lot of bureaucracy, if people will try to develop an imaginative concept.
Well,
there's a conflict between all these rules and imagination.
Yeah. Well, you know, since we're speaking imaginatively, I can't necessarily imagine that a whole lot of money would be thrown at developing a new program based on imagination that would be more kinder and gentler on the environment, unfortunately.
But can you see the tangible route within the details or details, but having a kind of drifting over the nodule field and lifting down and picking them up kind of robotically?
Yeah, but that's not going to happen. We're going to use tried and proven traditional mining methods, especially for ocean, which is either scrape or suck, and they'll just take everything that's in the path of, you know, have you ever been on a river in gold country? You've seen these gold collecting derricks, and what they essentially are is giant vacuum that sucks up all the dirt and everything, and then it sifts it through a thing, and the heavy material, the gold, falls to the bottom, and all the lighter material, rock, sand, washes away, and then goes, you know, so it's a hugely disruptive method to the natural ecosystem, and I imagine that that's probably the method that would be employed for any deep sea mineral recovery. And we're not only talking about magnesium. There's quite a bit of other rare earth mineral that exists at the floor, sea level, most of which are used, can you guess, in your iPhone.
You mean tantalum and things like that?
Exactly.
Okay, cobalt, yeah.
Yeah, stuff like that, stuff that's used to make sensitive electronic equipment. Those are the type of rare earth minerals that we're talking about being collected up off of the ocean floor in this land and marine management proposal.
Well, okay, but let's see if we can have this drifting octopus thing.
I love the idea. I love it.
Have enough people behind it and think about it and push for it.
Well, let's try that. And let's
unorganize it.
I'm all for creating more sensitive, more better technology that's more, you know, kinder and gentler to our environment. I'm all for it. And the Hawaiians, you know, that was one of the traditions that we were into, was anything that was developed was going to be a benefit to the people and also benefit to the ecosystem and the environment around
On
us.
That note.
Yes, sir.
Let me just throw this out into people's consciousness.
Please do. Yeah.
Okay, and thanks. I guess I can leave so I don't dilute my conversation.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Mahalo.
Aloha.
Mahalo. So we got all these issues, yeah? We got all these issues all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
We got all the solutions.
Mm-hmm.
Guys got inventions for free power. Guys got inventions for,
mm-hmm,
you know,
sucking plastic out of the ocean.
All of our solutions.
Yep.
All we need to do as people is throw $1 in.
Yeah.
For me, it's black and white. Yeah?
Yeah.
Hey, this guy has an invention for free power to take away all the issues
of
the planet.
I'll give $1 to that.
Done. 20 million, 30 million people out there.
$4 billion on the planet.
Yeah, but, you know, that much will back the issue, the back, the idea, yeah?
Yeah. Like the water.
From there, you
like
build
the
a foundation by the people,
water?
By the people that is going to save the planet. I'm sure there's 50 million people out of 7 billion or whatever, 700 billion, or how much people are on the earth?
7 billion.
I'm sure we can find 50 million who will put in a dollar.
Well, let's hope.
For a world changing solution, yeah? But,
well,
you know, you
hope.
Need to look into the history of the J.P. Morgans and the power people,
exactly,
who have murdered and
committed grievous acts
and done whatever they could to keep these solutions from coming to life.
Oh,
yeah?
Well, yeah.
But for me, I'm going to do whatever I can to bring these solutions
to
life.
You bring up a good point. You know, when the community who's purchasing the products get a little bit more educated and they understand what the real necessities are, and we start as a community, all 7 billion of us asking for the things that are really necessities, and understand that what we produce is actually a privilege to have, and it's not something that we can just manufacture another one and throw away the broken one.
On Kauai, we could be... You know, we could set a pace for the world here.
You know that.
And we could bring free power to our island.
You
we
know
got
that.
A thing called, what's our power company called? Everybody thinks they're a part of it and getting...
Yeah, the co-op.
The co-op.
Yeah, KIUC.
KIUC. Everybody thinks they're a part of it. Nobody has a part in making the decision.
Hardly a part of
no,
it.
No, nobody.
It's kind of
They'll
like,
make you think
it's kind
you
of
have
like,
a part of it.
Yeah.
But this is an entity, there's, like all the
it's
others.
It's
kind of
like they're selling us a Harley Davidson.
It's a dream. It's
and
a dream.
We're getting a Honda instead.
KIUC is a dream that makes you think that you have say in what's going on. But when we all put in a dollar to the power solutions, then we'll see what being involved really means.
Amen to that. I agree 100%. Well, let's go to the phone lines. Caller, you're on the air.
Is that me?
That's you.
Very cool. Thank you so much for your program. I certainly appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. Who are we speaking with?
Oh, my name's Joe, or Auntie Joe, I guess.
Auntie Joe, how you see?
I'm good.
All right.
I just wanted to make a bit of a comment about, I think the lady's name was Nina, who was kind of in favor of the...
Now be nice, because I like Nina.
Okay, I was planning on being nice. I just wanted to throw this out there, because I got a different kind of... feeling about the United States government than she does.
Okay.
And maybe it's because I'm tons older and I've seen a bit more.
Okay.
I don't know. Anyway, I just wanted to say that trusting the United States government to do what they initially say that they're doing with whatever paperwork or stuff like that, I'm part Native American, you know, and I know about the treaties.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever it's inconvenient for them to carry on with the treaty, they just either tear it up, fix it, disregard it, whatever.
Yep.
Anyway, so just to remind folks, remember the thing with the Department of Interior here?
Yep.
I went to Waimea. I listened to plenty of people talk. I'm not a Hawaiian, so I didn't say anything, but I did write a letter to the Department of Interior because I thought it was amazing that they made this proposal to begin with. But in any case, that there were all these heartfelt, emotional responses to the suggestion that they become Native Americans. All of that stuff was totally disregarded. They went to the United States proper and asked people there who had a little interest. Or
what should we do with the Hawaiians? Yes, they went to Maine.
When they don't get the right answer, you know, in your community meetings, when you speak up, when you write in testimony, and so when they don't get the answer they want, they just keep going until they do.
Yeah.
So just wanted to put that out there. Even though. And there was somebody else that was asked these questions who was at the meeting about this proposal that there was no fishing restrictions and stuff. Well, there's the permitting thing. Well, so there's plenty of people who maybe can't afford to buy the permit to go fishing.
Exactly. We see elitist type of access beginning to happen.
90% of the fishermen I know.
No, can't afford.
They go out just to catch a little bit of fish for their family and friends.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And
maybe make a few extra bucks.
That is definitely part of the deal for folks without the fishing. They don't know what they would do.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So even though at the moment it doesn't say that you cannot fish in certain areas, it does say that there's permitting process that's going to take place, and also it starts off that way that. There's no restrictions and stuff.
Well,
and then they put a fence around the around the place, and they go, oh, but it's a special. Now it's a United States government lighthouse in Kilauea. So no more fishing after 5.
Yep.
Anyway, just to be careful and
remember
who you're dealing with.
You're advising our community to stay leery of these proposals. Because with your background, where you've been, what you've seen, your experience, what you see is purely a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Smoke and mirrors, or whatever's real.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks for calling, because you reminded me how I wanted to compare Kana'i Oluwalu to all these different proposals.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because, you know, people need to realize, you know, these people have lobbyists. They pay to go and try to sell these ideas and these proposals to people, yeah, like Kana'i Oluwalu.
Yeah.
You know, the OHA had paid lobbyists going to all our kupuna and telling them how great Kana'i Oluwalu was, and how it was the calling of the ancestors, and this is what your kupuna all wanted.
No.
But on page 90-something of 200 pages, it says, oh, by signing this, you're giving away your rights to all ceded land.
Yeah, to any claim that you would have had as a Kanaka Maoli Hawaiian national.
So, you know, you really need to read between the lines, and anything that has to do with the federal government, their track record speaks for itself.
Don't get caught with the language is how
they
I see
they
it.
They serve themselves.
Yeah,
they certainly are not serving us.
Auntie, thank you so much for your call, and your advice is well heeded here. I can assure you of that.
Mahalo.
Thank you for the opportunity.
You're welcome. Aloha.
Aloha.
Have a good night. Hey, but you know, people need to realize, people are paid. They find that one person out of 1,000 that will sell their soul for peanuts, you know what I mean?
I
I have this. I don't have it here.
Lobbyists. Everybody needs to know what a lobbyist is.
I found an ad in the newspaper. I'm going to go to the phone call here in just a second. But I found this ad in the newspaper. The ad called for writers. And the job description was very clear. You have to have skills and the will and the ability to infiltrate social media network groups who oppose the ideas of our company and create dissension amongst the group, keep them small and arguing with each other. It was absolutely amazing. So, you know, there is an active program out there to create havoc and chaos.
Did you see the one with the guy from Monsanto that admitted that they have a program, a department that just is for social media and disruption and manipulation?
Exactly. Yes. We got another caller who is eager to get on the soapbox. Caller, you're on the air. What do you want a soapbox about?
How's it going? My name is Nico Kinky. I'm from Kekaha.
Aloha, Nico. We were hoping somebody from the west side was going to make an appearance and give us a call. What's up?
You know, Uncle, it's kind of a big mess right now, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Especially, I live, you know, I'm surrounded by the GMO capital of the world. And I was lucky enough to open my eyes one day and I was in Kekaha. My parents moved from California back in like 75. And I got the opportunity to fish Ka'ula Rock, Ni'ihau, Lehua, and all around Kauai. I dove the whole coastline of Kauai. I never really knew how special it was because that's just what I did. When you see all the different families, everybody collecting for their families. When you get your party, you get your luau, you go out and you go catch a little bit more for the party. But what it was is everybody catches a little bit more, but not that much. It was more like all the fishermen put into the same pot and then getting off for everybody have. But not going to be all the best stuff. You know, you get everything, palani,
yeah.
You get a little bit of pihi. You know, whoever get a little bit,
well,
that's going to go up there to whoever got married. And you go out to the kapunas, get all the best stuff.
Yeah.
And I guess I get so much for say, but, you know, you guys get any questions for me? Because I'm really in the middle of this. I'm also part of the Hawaii Ocean Users Group that was part of the original meetings.
Yeah.
That, you know, about 4 years ago, they did the SCOPE meetings, and they said that they wanted to make it a multi-species sanctuary, which changes the whole show.
Yep. Well, now it's gone from multi-species to all marine species.
Yeah, they want to make it ecosystem-based.
Yeah.
For me, I like hear your heart point of view on it.
Yeah, what do you really think about this whole stepping in of the federal government trying to make these new land and resource and marine area restrictions or proposals? What's your point? What's your take on how these resources should be managed? Who should be in control of them? And then maybe you can give us a little insight as to what can actually be done to encourage these actions.
Oh, absolutely. What it comes down to, for sure, we want to keep state waters in state hands. Absolutely. Federalization is going to take the vote away from the common people of Hawaii.
Aye.
No longer is going to be the people at the meetings or the people in the neighborhood. It's going to be the federal government. Now, especially in Niihau, they're trying to make a 3-mile sanctuary around the entire island of Niihau and a few expansions around the state. Now, what happens is once they do this change of a multi-species sanctuary, and also they want to add all different, like say the ecosystem from the top of the mountain all the way to the ocean 3 miles out. So basically you're going to be talking about they're going to be managing federally all the way to the top of the mountain, all the way down to the ocean in Apuwa'a.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm seeing.
Well, you know what people don't realize is the relationship with the Robinsons and the military. They've been trying to take over Niihau for a long time.
Yeah, let me jump in there again because a lot of It was just, I believe, last year, the state of Hawaii and the Robinsons tried to work together to get this exclusion zone put together by the state.
Yes, exactly. That's and that was the first batch of meetings that was going on when they first began to introduce the new rules, you know, several years ago about how, and there was this whole Ni'ihau proposal thing. Go ahead.
Yes, so they basically got a hold of a bunch of state representatives, mm-hmm. went out to Ni'ihau, and talked to the Ni'ihauans, which I know a lot of the Ni'ihauans, and they're great people. Mm-hmm. I love them very much. We're very close to them. It's a mm-hmm. small community on Kauai, and especially in Kekaha.
Aye.
They're hardworking people, and they live on the basically the landlord's rules, just like it was somebody in your yard. You know what I mean?
Cannot grow their hair long, cannot grow beard.
They don't own the land. Like, that's the part where it's... Well, when you get into Hawaiian lineage, it gets really complicated, and really, I don't think I'm a kapuna enough to talk about what really happened to the transition of land ownership in Hawaii. So they got to kind of stay on point with what they're doing now. Now they want to use the federal government, which is the National Marine Whale Sanctuary and the sanctuary system federally, to create their three-mile exclusion zone.
Yeah.
Now, of course, they want to say, oh, start off, we're not going to stop fishing. But once they make it a multi-species sanctuary, well, they can kind of do whatever they want. Now, originally, when they did the compact agreement with Ben Cayetano, the state has control over all rules regulating fishing. Now, this is the piece of that compact agreement that cannot change. It needs to be in the people's hands. And again, in my word, from my heart, it needs to be with the common people of Hawaii. It's our choice. It's our land. We got to get more active with, like, getting more money for the state, if it has to be, getting more involved with their programs and guiding them in the right direction to make the right laws to protect the land, the ocean, and our resources. Because as people, unless we get active, we're not really doing anything to fix the problem.
Yeah, I got to agree
with
that.
Not enough of us are, that's
for
sure. I got to
agree. I had a very interesting conversation with a couple that I picked up on the side of the road who had their thumbs out. And one of the things that came up in the conversation was the fact that in order to save this planet, what it's really going to take is an active citizenship. You know, if we have active citizens who are participating in these processes, who are engaged in the process instead of engaged in what's being shown at them on their TV or, you know, whatever other distraction that has been created out there for us. We get involved in the program and the process and understand what the essentials of life are and start asking for those things instead of just accepting what we're being told is an essential for life, we'll start to see changes.
I am 100% agreeing. Education is the key when it comes down to knowing how the ecology of the earth works.
Absolutely.
And, you know, being that I have been a commercial fisherman, a spear fisherman my whole life, and I also the freshwater, I've explored the freshwater all the way up to the deepest valleys.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen a lot of change in my time with the diversion of water and even the watershed just in Kekaha in general. To see the, you know, the biomass that's just in the actual swamp plain ditches, it's pretty much, it's really is minimal now to what it was when I was a kid, you know?
Yeah, when sugar was in full swing.
Yeah, when sugar was around, there was opo, there was prawns, every kind of guppy, there was turtles, and now I don't see so much of that. And also, there's a lot of water diversion going on. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff actually going on. When I say Kauai right now, it's kind of a mess. It really is kind of a mess. And what happens is the local people, we got to work. You know, I have a 14-year-old daughter. I'm working on her every day to make her become a productive human being. And I just want to say, this is what I really want to say. This type of proposals that are so closely connected to sanctuaries and things that Noah's done in the past, they take away people's rights to fish and gather, whether it be native or a common person of that region, in my opinion, It's a type of terrorism in itself.
Yes, it is.
Because it terrifies me. And this whole proposal by the National Marine Whale Sanctuary has terrified me, and it's also inflicted a lot of pain in my community.
Mm. Yep, it sure has.
And I think that's what's really hurting me inside. It's also caused division between Hawaiians. And, you know, when you look at the terminology Hawaiian, what is that? I mean, I'm 1/8 Native American, I'm half Finnish, I'm Polish, and I'm Estonian, and I'm British. My great-great-grandfather was 100% Native American. And, you know, what we hear today, we're living for today. I did not choose to open my eyes in Kekaha, but I do choose to open my mind and use my voice to transmit what I feel is right and pono. As you guys talked about earlier, pono.
Mm-hmm.
Pono is like me going and spending all day to fix my girlfriend's truck so she can drive safe with her son.
Aye.
Your friend across the street, he need help building his fence. You go help him.
Aye.
Yep.
Malama ke kahi I ke kahi.
That's the way the community of Kauai, the common people, that's aye. How we survive on Kauai.
Yeah. Yeah.
How
amen.
You live here is so expensive. Well, you get one luau coming. I'm the minpachi man. I go and get you your fried fish for your party. How many pieces you need?
Mm-hmm.
Right? 100 pieces. Mm-hmm. I go and die for 1 month. And I go and get them.
That's how we do it, huh?
Uncle, we got a couple more phone calls to take on the other line. I really, really, really am moved by what you've just shared with us. And I know I've only been on Kauai for 13 years now. I'm born and raised in Hawaii, and the changes just in the last 15 years are significant. I can't imagine what 30, 40, 50 years on Kauai looks like.
For me, he speak right to my heart. Everything we do down here is as one community.
Especially on this side.
You know, I've been lucky enough, Uncle Bobo and all these mm-hmm. guys that teach us how to be one community.
Yep.
How for take care of each other.
Yep.
When it's time for a party, we all take care of each other. Everybody does their part. And, you know, just like he's saying, that's our kuleana. Yeah?
Yep, exactly.
And just like this management is our kuleana. And it's our kuleana to stand up as human beings when things aren't right. Yeah.
That's right. It's our kuleana.
So
and let us have it.
More than ever, now is a time for embrace our kuleana. Yeah.
100%. You guys is spot on. I really appreciate you guys giving me the time. I tried my best. I got in here. You guys is really spot on. You guys keep going. I'm going to go to this meeting here in a little while and put in my comments.
All right, take notes so you can share with us next show.
Yeah, mahalo for your mana'o.
Okay, you guys take care. Aloha.
Mahalo. All right, we're going to go to the next line. Caller, you're on the air.
How's it? This is Uncle Kavika Kucher from Anahola.
Uncle Kavika, aloha.
Aloha, Uncle.
Aloha. This sanctuary stuff, it really bugs me. Because I don't trust our government. I don't trust the feds. And seems like all they want is control.
Yep.
And, you know, the more you want control, the less you have control. And my testimony was simple. You know, every time they take from us, when they going to give us something back? You know?
Exactly.
And I don't know. I don't have all the answers, but I know this. There's no shortage of fish because I fish. And anytime I like to eat fish, there's fish for me to catch. Akua's blessed me that way. But you know what? There is some people that do wrong in the ocean, and that's the ones that need to be punished.
Yeah.
You don't punish everybody because of a few.
Agreed.
And you know, the whale to me, nobody eat the whale, brother.
Nope.
You know, the whale is just part of the ecosystem. You know, if you don't hunt in on the whale, there's no problem.
Exactly.
You know, it's simple. And you know the turtle and the seal. These two, it just seems like, you know, I've been around the world to plenty of countries but when I was young. And you know, when you go to another country, you live like the people in that country. You don't come and change that country. because of where you're from. And I think that's the biggest problem we have. We have all these people that supposedly love Hawaii and care about Hawaii, maybe live 20, 30 years, but they like making like where they're from.
Oh, but if it only had a Costco.
Yeah, that's sort of my point. My point is this, is that when you come to another somebody's house, and if the house is dirty, you don't go tell your friends the house is dirty. You should just be glad you can go to that house and visit those people.
Exactly.
You know, and that's the morning I was getting upset because, you know, the last time I ate turtle was when I was in high school. It was legal.
Yeah.
And you know what? They had protected the wrong turtle. They should have protected the leatherback.
Mm-hmm.
Because the leatherback has eggs in Hawaii, which you already, Big Island, Maui, and Kauai's not sure.
Yep.
It has babies here. But that's the one that needed the protection, not the green sea turtle. And now we got too much green sea turtles and not enough limu for them to eat.
Yeah.
So what happens? Now we get bigger sharks coming closer and closer in.
Yeah.
People being bit. Why? Because their ecology is not Hawaiian ecology. You know, everything in the ocean for Hawaiians is food. Nice to look at snorkeling tour or whatever. Nice to look at fish, pretty fish.
That's our refrigerator.
It's our refrigerator. And when you keep on taking from our refrigerator, what's going to happen to us?
Yep.
What's going to happen to us?
Anything you want to share with us in closing? I got a couple of more calls we got to make before the last 10 minutes of our show.
Yeah, I just want to say this, brother. Everybody needs to speak up. Because if you don't, it's going to be bad for everybody.
Right.
You know, you got to speak up. Talk from your heart. Make sure you live what you say.
Yep.
That is the key. And
that's,
you know,
pono.
What? Yeah, be pono. But you got to be pono in your heart, too.
Exactly.
And whatever you say, make sure you do it. Like, if you say you're going to give mangoes to your neighbor, give them mangoes. Real simple stuff. If you say you're going to stop for the people in the crosswalk, stop for them.
I love it.
You know, real simple kind of stuff.
I love it.
Lead by example.
That's where aloha starts.
That's where it is, bro. You got it. Now you're getting what I'm trying to say.
I got you, uncle.
Yeah. Aloha is not for sale. It's not for barter.
Exactly.
It's not for me get something from you. Aloha is from the heart because it comes from my inner being and it's about love.
Mm.
You know, love is the greatest thing, but love also points out evil.
Mm.
And when evil is exposed, what does it do? It gets angry.
That's exactly right. That's what I say to people. Don't misjudge my anger. I'm pointing out my aloha, you know?
Yeah, because I get angry at those hearings because deep inside me, I've seen a lot of stuff since I've been a little boy.
Yep.
And a lot of change is no good. And if the, my dad used to say this, if the wall is on straight, no, take them off and make them crooked.
That's right. Hey, Uncle Kavika, you are in my prayers guarantee every single day of the week. And I mahalo you for calling us on and giving us that inspiring
mahalo,
words.
Uncle.
Okay. Hey, mahalo for having me, huh?
Yes.
Just have a great night, okay?
Hey, you mahalo too, for your talk last night too, Uncle.
Oh, thank you.
It was right to the heart.
And thank all the people for coming because, you know, we need to be heard.
Yes.
To the heart, from the heart. Mahalo.
Okay. Aloha.
It's amazing that the general consensus is that it's time to get active. Talk. Caller, you got 1 minute, 2 minutes. I'll give you 2 minutes, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it? Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, you got 2 minutes.
All right. Well, I just want to say that, you know, I don't support this well sanctuary on the basis that the sanctuary is probably a long-term ban and a long-term sanctuary, whereas Waikiki and Molokai's moratoriums are, and, you know, they rotate. Like Waikiki, 1 year is a ban, the next year is no ban.
Mm.
And I haven't heard any language in this, and just the fact that it's a well sanctuary leads me to believe it's a federal thing. And if it's a federal thing, it's an outright long-term ban. And with that said, if you guys look at the map, Niihau has an entire coastal sanctuary that goes all 3 miles, and that's what Robinson has been trying to do for a long time.
Yep. We got that.
In the state of Hawaii, we have the right to go on the high tide mark. It's international maritime law. And The reality is, if he's been trying to ban and punish people for going and harvesting OPDs, or even going with their tour boats, or, you know, snorkeling and diving, fishing, and he's wanted to have control of that area, and he's coupled with the military.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
If you look at the map, you know, that one right there is a big no-no for me. But the other thing I want to reiterate is we do have to have some type of CAPU slash, if you want to call it, a moratorium, where we do have, you know, resting our reefs.
Resting periods.
Open. They have to have a mechanism like that.
Well, absolutely. That's indigenous wisdom, but they don't listen to us.
Well, I know they don't listen, but
go on, Matty.
I'll go tomorrow night to the Leadway one and testify. I'm not going anywhere.
Please do.
No, Wailua, Mary.
Wailua.
Wailua, but I'm actually born and raised Kapai.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling in, boss.
I'm going to add one more thing.
Please.
You know, I question the logic of why it has to be umbrellaed under a whale sanctuary. And what does shoreline fishing, what does catching on Ulua have to do with affecting on whale?
I'm not sure I can answer that question.
And just for the record, you know, the fallacy that the seals are affected by fishing, you know, I float Ohamas, and one time I caught on, more than once, but this one particular time, there's a female that the monk seal people themselves know, and I know them too, because I communicate where I give my info of where I see seals and certain stuff with Mr. Mershiro and his wife, but you know, there's this one pregnant seal that they know about that literally watches me catch my fish and never messes with it. I never had one. I've had them more often watch me land the fish than take my fish off the line. Mm. Net, that's a different story. They will take your shit off the net. Oops, sorry, I don't mean to say that.
All right, Uncle, we got to go. I got one more phone call to take before we're done.
Maddie,
mahalo so much to you.
All right, aloha, you guys.
Aloha. All right. Well, we are at the top of the hour. We got 5 minutes left to go. Kauai Soapbox is the show you've been listening to. Jazz with John is coming up next. And Dustin Barker, mahalo nui for joining us. And I really wish we could have talked a little bit more about what happened in Mauna Kea. Real quick, I'll give you 2 minutes because we got 5 minutes before we got to get out the door. The most significant thing that happened, the one message that you want to share about what came down from the mountain.
From the mountain, I'll talk about that. Mauna Awa Kea is not only is it the number one aquifer for the island of Mokuakeawe, Big Island, but it's a spiritual staple point for the earth. Yeah, it's the pico. If you've seen, I mean, to go there and experience it is another thing, because I was involved in some heavy prayers and heavy chants and watching basically portals open in the skies and circles open, in, you know, and it's unexplainable.
Yep.
But when you go there and you feel the mana of the mauna, yeah, and, you know, in history, there hasn't been anything. You know, I thought it was going to be the chemical corporations poisoning our people that was going to bring our people together. But it's got to be the mama, yeah?
Yeah.
The connection, yeah?
Yeah.
And so to me, the mauna is bringing the nation together, yeah?
Amen.
And it's bringing the world together at a scale where people are putting, you know, the materialistic world on the side and really connecting and understanding the significance, yeah, of our natural resources. So it goes beyond just a water source. It goes to a spiritual side. To me, the world is in spiritual warfare. Yeah? And you need to make good with yourself.
Absolutely.
To know what your path is on this
you
planet.
You know that.
But we're all in a challenging time. You need to accept who you are. Let go of your hate, fear, pain. All that crap. Because that's the reptilian part of your brain. It's called the R part of your brain. Do your homework, people. The R part of your brain. Right now, more than ever in history, we're working off the R part of our brain. You need to connect. Let go of those fears. Let go of your insecurity. Connect with who you are. Connect with Akua. And we are in a time on this planet where you need to make that choice to
to go out of your comfort zone and step up. Yep. So I encourage everybody to grab my hand and grab my brothers and sisters' hands, because this planet is at a pinnacle.
All right. So with that being said, mahalo nui loa. Yeah. I agree 100%.
Imua hawa'ine.
Let's get straight.
Aloha to
ourselves.
Everybody on Mauna Awa Kea. All
right.
I have the most respect in the world, man, to all the people sitting up there for 30 days today?
41 today.
41 days, sorry. And I give them all the aloha and respect,
yes,
and love
and
from
respect.
My heart, and hopefully I'll see you guys tomorrow.
All right, so this has been Kauai Soapbox Live. Marshall's been on the show. Mahalo for holding my hand through the show, Marshall. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Aloha.
I look forward to the next sojourn out on the airwaves with you. Dustin Barker will catch you in the neighborhood, like you know how we do it.
Mahalo for everything you
and,
do.
And I'm not sure how the transition out of here normally works. I'm going to hand the mic over and the headphones to Jazwick John and let him take over from here. Thanks so much for supporting Kauai Community Radio. I'm out of here.
Mahalo KKCR. Aloha.